So when I shape the sermon, I focus on one thing and one thing only. I want to break down barriers that keep us from loving each other completely, and the barriers that keep us from loving God completely, or being open to the love of God completely. So when I thought about this one, there's one thing that seemed most difficult to knock down was about rejection. Now it's talking about a rejection, we're all gonna start twinging and cringing or stay really still. Like, he's talking about me. It's something we've all experienced at one time or another in our lives. It could be a great type of rejection, or it could just be a day of rejections of not getting a compliment in the morning from somebody who normally gives us a compliment. And those rejections can, they shape the way we relate to each other. If I've been hurt deeply by somebody, I'm no longer going to make myself open to them in a personal way. Or if I've been, once again, if I've been deeply rejected, I'm now going to, put walls around my heart. My heart's going to harden, so I can no longer love them completely. Or I might try to people please. I might be stuck in a cycle, pleasing people so that I get their approval, so that I'll never have to face rejection again. And so that's the level of rejection amongst us, between our neighbor. But then we can also turn that around and project that upon God, where these rejections we experience, we might feel like God rejects us just the same, so that we can't get close to Him. We feel like He doesn't want to be around us because of the rejection we face, or we feel like we're not good enough. So, with that, it's why not leave things be? Why not just live our lives with hard hearts? Why not just go on knowing that we're afraid of God to get close to Him, or letting, or knowing that He might be not wanting to get close to us? But if we do that, we can go through our entire lives, but we won't have a full life. We won't live as God intended us to live. We'll live a quiet life, a lonely life, and in the end, we'll just have us in our heart of hearts. And that's not God. That's not what Jesus came here to bring. He brought freedom for every one of us. And that includes freedom from the everyday fears, and everyday fears and worries. And rejection plays a lot into that. And I don't know everybody's their hurts. I don't know everybody's pains that they've been through. The rejection you've had and that you've had are completely different. And you've known them in a certain special way. And you may have put up barriers in a certain special way. So I'm not able to speak on every little topic specifically. And it's such a big topic. And I mean, we can probably do like a five sermon series just about rejection entirely. But if I can focus on one thing today, it's about healing the wounds of rejection. And it's only going to be through the work of the Holy Spirit. 25 minutes of me talking is not going to change your heart, or the hurts you've had. It's not going to speak to those. But the Holy Spirit will go to the depths of your heart and release the ropes that have been put upon ourselves through the rejection that we've had. So when we come to a place of healing, or if anyone's been hurt, it always helps to have somebody around us that has been through what we've been through. But at the same time, like I said, that our hurts are so different from one another, it's hard to come together for something like that. But there's one person we can relate to is Jesus. Now he's experienced rejection like nobody has ever experienced rejection. From before he was born to the day he died, he experienced a type of hurt that no one ever has. And it's easy to dismiss the hurts that Jesus has had, because one, he's God. I mean, who could hurt God, right? Like, he created us. Why would he be hurt by anything we do? But we have to remember that Jesus is fully human, and has cried the way we have cried, has hurt the way we have hurt, and has experienced loneliness and rejection more than we have. So one story I want to bring up is before he was born, when Mary was already pregnant and Joseph found out about it. I guess she was already showing, she was about 3 months pregnant, and Joseph knowing hasn't been with her, and so he knows this is not his child. And so in Matthew 2, it says that Joseph was an upright guy, so he only wanted a quiet divorce. He didn't want to bring her shame. So in a sense, justly knowing that it wasn't his child in the natural, he wanted to get a divorce because Jesus was not his son, his child Mary is pregnant with is not his seed. And so Jesus experienced rejection before he was born from a father that he had not known yet. And it continues on. You can pick anything, but just with the entire Gospels. You know, I can touch on five different places. Once he entered into ministry, he always had a constant rejection from the teachers of the time, from the Pharisees. You know, the people he came to save the most, the people he loved the most, rejected him the most. Actually, I'll just turn to the canon, Matthew, I think it's 8. Thank you, Mom.
You guys say that's
my mom? Yeah, that's my mom and dad. So Jesus has already entered into ministry. Let's see, Matthew 8:28. I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm going to kind of summarize it. This is where he heals the man and sends the demons into the pigs that go into the lakes. We kind of know that story pretty well. But at the end, the whole town comes out to Jesus, who has, by the way, done this really miraculous work to these two people that have been outcast in the community. He's restored them. And then the people from the community come out to Jesus and say, "Leave, get out of here. We don't want you here." And so imagine how Jesus felt, knowing, like, I just did a great work with God, but yet they still reject me. They still don't want me. And that's going to happen with us. We can live a perfect life, and we will still experience rejection. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he was rejected more than anybody else. So I don't want to put rejection as a thing we can completely overcome. I'll never experience rejection again. I'll never experience hurts. But that's not true. I can promise more rejection the closer you come to God. Which is, it might seem like, why would I want to do that? But once again, it's part of living the life God has called us to live, to be closer to him and to be open to love one another. We can go. I think it's in John, actually. I'm going to open there. But one time Jesus is, he's kind of like, he's battling with the Pharisees in the synagogue. And he calls them, "You brood of vipers." You know, he really rejects their claims. And they come back with this put down and says, "Well, at least we know where we came from." They're calling back to Jesus' questionable childhood. They said, "At least, you know, we weren't born out of immorality." So this whole time growing up, Jesus has always had this stigma that, you know, he's a bastard child, that his father was not Joseph, but somebody else. So he's always had that upon him. So growing up with rejection, with this stigma, has shaped his life. If anything, it made his heart softer so that he does not reject anybody else. I can't relate to that hurt. I can't relate to your hurts. That's where the work of Jesus, where we can relate to him personally, when his heart is soft enough to be welcome to ours, is where the crux of overcoming rejection lies. And I want us to be healed. I want us to be free from these binds of rejection. So, and we'll come to the end of Jesus' life. His closest friend for about 3 years, Matthew, you know, part of the inner circle. I'll just turn around. Make sure your closest friend. You probably experienced rejection from them, but to have somebody follow you, pledge their allegiance of their entire life to follow you, and at the very end, he says he doesn't even know you. I can't imagine such a thing to be rejected from before you were born until even after you died. Because even after Jesus died, he was in the tomb. All his followers kind of gave up hope. They gave up the mantle that was supposed to be passed on to them. So he completely rejected from the day before he was born until after he was dead is the life of Jesus. It's what we will experience. It's reality. Rejection is reality. But what it does is it molds our heart, it shapes our heart. The natural thing to rejection is to harden our hearts. But with the Spirit, we can use those rejections to soften our hearts, to know that we've been hurt, but we don't want to hurt them in the same way. But we know that it wasn't them hurting us specifically, it was the powers behind them. They had a bad day, so they put their anger upon me. You know, they just got laid off, so I was the one that got attacked. You know, you can understand, we can take that side of it, you know, using the spirit instead of our flesh to approach this rejection. I probably want to take this time around for the Holy Spirit. I can talk, you know, for another 20 minutes, how Jesus rejected. I can talk about my own personal rejections. We can open discussion, talk about our own. That won't help. What I don't want us to do is revisit these hurts from our past. We'll have a paralysis from analysis. If I keep talking about how I was hurt in the past, it's just going to re-injure me. I don't want that to happen. I want to be thinking about those things again. It's when we do that, that's how we become re-injured. When we aren't healed from past hurt, we will re-injure ourselves again just thinking about that. So if we can allow the Holy Spirit to heal those things, just to close the door on them, to look back upon them and see them for experiences that will help us grow. Because what I ultimately want to happen after tonight is to be open to the idea of the Holy Spirit to change our heart completely, which brings lasting change. If we didn't have the work of the Spirit upon this, we can, you know, probably tomorrow, Monday, we'll be great. Yeah, we'll face rejection. Somebody, you know, won't say hi to us, and we'll be good. You know, on Tuesday, we'll be a little bit better. By Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be back to the same cycle of facing rejection, and we'll be hurt, and back in the cycle of people pleasing, back in the cycle of hardening our hearts. And the only true change will come from the Holy Spirit. So, Max, if you can help me out with this. Max is our elder here, both in the natural and spiritual. Because I love him like him. I got some anointing oil here. Yeah, so you can come to this. I want everybody here to have a touch with the Holy Spirit as a symbol physically with the oil, which it says in James 5, but also spiritually at every point of need. It may not be rejection, but it may be something else that the Holy Spirit can heal. And I really want to stress that every time I speak, it's not going to be my words that will change, but it will be the power of the Spirit upon everybody, because He can relate to you personally in the depths of your heart, where you have not told anybody, where you've been hurting, where you have not made known to yourself, where you've forgotten for years. But it comes up every once in a while, where it will create a blockade between you and somebody else from loving them completely, or blockade between you and God from approaching Him. Because what I want is for us to be open to God, to worship Him completely, not being afraid to love Him, or not being afraid of His love, because His love will always accept us, no matter where we are at in life, no matter what our spiritual compass is. If we got a zero on morality scale, God will still love us completely and accept us completely. It's that acceptance that Jesus has when He identifies with the Father, that is how He is able to deal with rejection. If the Holy Spirit will have us do that, we can identify with our Father, our Heavenly Father, that will never turn away from us, that will never deny us. In John 6, Jesus says, "Whoever comes unto me, I will never cast out." So coming to Him, He didn't say, "Whoever comes to me perfect already, whoever comes to me with perfect church attendance, with a good tithing record, I will never cast out." He says, "Whoever comes to me completely, I will never cast out." And that's all. I will bank on that. I'll put my whole life upon that, because if I go to Him, knowing that if I blew it on Saturday night, I can still come to Him and He'll never cast me out. It's that acceptance from my Heavenly Father that shapes how I take rejection, where I just take it as, "All right, Father, they may reject me. They may not, you know, give me approval, give me a compliment, but I know You approve of me, I know You accept me, and I can know I can move forward with that." So, amen. I guess we can just say, you know, have people come up here, or go out here. Just one at a time. Yeah, so we might as well come up. But please don't be afraid. You know, I'm not here to judge anybody.
My dad had a word of knowledge. He wanted me to speak to this church. I'll say it as it with people of. People of full life, the Lord God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt you with loud singing. God's crazy about us. Thank you, Jesus.